Well, he had already been through a lot of trials. He escaped his father's determination to sacrifice children, his father's sacrifice, and burn children in the fire to pagan gods. He was raised by a mother who believed in the eternal, the Yahweh, the Jehovah, the God of Israel. And he survived that area, and when he came to the throne, he cleaned out all the pagan temples of Judah. And Israel had already been a separate nation. And then he found that here came the Assyrian army toward him. And he had to panic for a moment, offered the king of Assyria, whatever you impose on me, I'll pay you. And it was a tremendous sum. In Isaiah chapter 38, we read this. Now, he was struck during this time. He was struck with a mortal sickness. He was going to die. And the prophet Isaiah went to him and said, the Eternal says you're going to die. You'll not come off your bed. But what can change God? What is it that can change God's mind? Prayer. And he turned and he prayed and he wept sore and he cried and he said, I've served you, God. You know, I don't want to die now. He was almost at the prime of his life right at that time. And God says, go back up, Isaiah. Tell him to put a lump of figs on his sores and all that, and tell him I'll add 15 more years to his life. But let's turn to Isaiah 38, where we see some of this. And I'm going to start in verse 4 through 8. Then the word of the Eternal came to Isaiah. Go and tell Hezekiah, this is what the Eternal, the God of your father David, says. I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. I will add 15 years to your life. And I will... Now notice verse 6. I will deliver you and this city from the hand of the king of Assyria. So during the time when the Assyrian power was coming toward Jerusalem, during that time when Hezekiah was trying to pay off and cut off the gold of the temple and gave all of it, so during that time, it must have been that God said, okay, I'm going to save you. I'm going to save your life, and I'm going to save you from the city. So he survived the sickness, and now he was going to survive, through God's help, the attack on Assyria, from Assyria. So here we see, I will deliver. I'm going to spare your life, and I will deliver you from the king of Assyria and save this city from the hand of the king of Assyria. I will defend this city. This is the book of Isaiah, chapter 38. This is the eternal sign to you that the Eternal will do as he has promised, and I will make a shadow cast by the sun. Go back up the stairs, as you know, Hezekiah requested. It has gone down the stairway of Ahaz. So the sunlight went back up the 10 stairs it had gone down. As I read that from the New International Version, that's Isaiah chapter 38. Now, 2 Kings chapter 18, because 2 Kings 18, Isaiah 36, 37, and 38 are all about Hezekiah. 2 Kings 18, beginning in verse 16. At this time, Hezekiah, king of Judah, stripped off the gold. You remember this? He stripped off the gold to cover the doors. The king of Assyria sent then his supreme commander, verse 17, his chief officer and his field commander with a large army from Lachish to Hezekiah at Jerusalem. They came up to Jerusalem and stopped at the aqueduct at the upper pool and the road to the called washerman's field, called the fuller's field. The fuller's field was a place where they had rocks where they could wash their clothing and lay it out, the fuller's field. So, Hezekiah is now being told, and if you want to hiss the history of what's happened, let's take a look at the history of the king of Assyria and what happened, why he was so threatening to Judah. Why did he was so threatening? Here it is. But the king of Assyria discovered that Hosea, this is 2 Kings chapter 17. Now, You know, don't you, that Israel split into two nations. One went up north to the capital at Samaria, and the other was down south, the capital of Jerusalem. But the king of Assyria discovered that Hoshea was one of the kings of Israel up north. And the king of Assyria discovered that Hoshea was a traitor. I'm reading this from the New American Standard, I believe, that Hoshea was a traitor, for he had sent envoys to the king of Egypt. So the northern tribe said, you know, maybe if Assyria comes up here, you can help us. They sent envoys, try to make peace with Egypt, get some help from Egypt. And he no longer paid tribute, so now he stopped paying the Assyrian government, the Assyrian army and the Assyrian power, the kingdom there, tribute to the king of Assyria. So what they did, they just like mafia, you know, they just come in, you know, you want certain money from you. You pay up or we're going to just wipe out your, you know, the old protection racket. You know, you want us to protect your business, you pay up. If you don't, your business gets burned down or something happens to it. So the king of Assyria did that, as he had done year by year. Every year they had paid, but this time he stopped. Therefore, Shalmaneser seized him, put him in prison. They just came right in. I mean, they could not stop the Assyrian army to come right into Israel. The king of Assyria invaded the entire land of Israel. That's the northern tribes. Marched against Samaria and laid siege to it for 3 years. They just kept coming up and coming up and coming in, taking so many, coming in again. In the ninth year of Hoshea, the king of Assyria then captured Samaria and deported the Israelites to Assyria. He settled them in all these various towns, Haloth, Gozan, Harbor River, and the towns of the Medes. All this took place because, listen to verse 7. 7 is telling you the real reason all this took place. It's not because Assyria was more powerful. It's not because Israel was too weak. All this took place because the Israelites had sinned against the Eternal, their God, who had brought them up out of the land of Egypt and under the power of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. They worshipped other gods and followed the practices of the nations the Eternal had driven out before them, as well as the practices that the kings of Israel had introduced. The Israelites secretly did things against the Eternal, their God, that were not right. That's from the New International Version, by the way. So you see, there was all of a sudden, now Hezekiah is well aware of what's happening up there. He's well aware of this. Now, all of a sudden, the king of Assyria is marching toward Jerusalem. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 28 and verse 16, at that time, now this is his father, okay? This is King Hezekiah's father. We have a reference here, 2 Chronicles 28, verse 16. At that time, King Ahaz went to the king of Assyria for help. Okay? He sees up here, they're taking Israel up north. Hey, what can we do? You know, I want help here. Don't come down here. So in chapter 28 of 2 Chronicles, in verse, dropping down to verse 20, Tiglath-Pileser, the king of Assyria, came to him, but he gave him trouble instead of help. So you asked for the king of Assyria, give me help. Instead of getting help, you got trouble. Ahaz took some of the things from the temple of the Eternal, from the royal palace, and from the princes, and presented them to the king of Assyria, but they did not help him. In his time of trouble, King Ahaz became even more unfaithful to the Eternal. We read that earlier. He became even more unfaithful. So he went to the king of Assyria. He sees what's happening north. This is Hezekiah's father now. He goes to the king of Assyria. What can I do? Can I give you some money? Can I do? And nothing he gave him. Now dropping into 2 Chronicles chapter 32. Chapter 32, beginning in verse 13. Do you not know what I and my fathers, this is now the emissaries from Assyria coming to speak to Hezekiah, to speak to the people of Judah, And they're saying, do you not know what I and my fathers have done to all the peoples of the land? Were the gods of the nations of the lands able to deliver them their land from my hand? Who was there among all the gods of the nations which my fathers utterly destroyed? We destroyed all these nations. They had gods. They prayed to their gods. Who could deliver these people out of my hand? That your God, why would you think that your God should be able to deliver you from my hand? Now, therefore, do not let Hezekiah, now he's talking to the people and some of the leaders, don't let Hezekiah deceive you or mislead you like this. Do not believe him, for no god of any nation or kingdom was able to deliver his people from my hand or from the hand of my fathers. You know, I'm one of the kings of Assyria. How much less shall your God deliver you from my hand? Verse 16. This is 2 Chronicles now 32, verse 16. And his servants spoke further. Now listen to this. They spoke further against the eternal God and against his servant Hezekiah. Here's what they said. And then they wrote, verse 17, and he also wrote letters to insult the eternal God of Israel. And to speak against him, saying, as the gods of the nations of the lands have not delivered their people from my hand, so the God of Hezekiah shall not deliver his people from my hand. Very powerful and very straightforward affront to God. As they called this out, in other words, they're shouting this in the hearing of the leaders of Judah, and a lot of people, a lot of lay people. As he called this out with a loud voice in the language of Judah to the people of Jerusalem who were on the wall to frighten and terrify them so that the king might take the city. In other words, you wilt the will of the people. Okay, we can't do this. We can't fight against them. There's no way. We should just cave in right now and just surrender. Verse 19, this is 2 Chronicles 32, verse 19. And they spoke of the God of Jerusalem as of the gods of the peoples of the earth, the work of men's hands. In other words, they attributed to the living God the same thing they would attribute to a statue or something like that. Chapter 19, 2 Kings chapter 19. Now, here is Hezekiah's prayer. And I think we can learn a lot about prayer here. Then Hezekiah, now he gets this letter. This letter is insulting. It's insulting to God. It's insulting to Hezekiah. Hezekiah receives this letter. He took the letter from the hand of the messengers. You know, they didn't deliver it directly to Hezekiah. They gave it to Hezekiah's men. Give this to your boss. Give this to the king. And he read it. And he went. He took action right away. What did he do? He took action. He went right up to the house of the Eternal, the place where he was cutting off the gold, you remember, on the doorpost. He went right up to the house of the Eternal. He spread it out before the Eternal God. Went up to the house. This is your house. He probably on the outside because I don't think he was a priest. So, but he may have been able to go in. I don't know. So I think he was a priest if I remember right. Anyhow, he spreads this letter out before God, and this is what he says. Hezekiah prayed before the Eternal and said, "O Eternal, O Yahweh, O Jehovah, the God of Israel, who are enthroned above the cherubim, you are the God, you alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made the heaven and the earth. Incline your ear, O Eternal, and hear me. Open your eyes, O Eternal, and see. and listen to the words of Sennacherib, which he has sent to reproach the living God. Truly, O Eternal, the kings of Assyria have devastated the nations and their lands. Now, you have to acknowledge, you can't be blind to the facts. And Hezekiah was not blind to the facts. He knew that Assyria was able to wipe out one nation after another, after another. He said, you know, they're right. They're right. The king of Assyria is correct. He did wipe out all these lands. He did wipe out all the gods of these lands. So he says, truly, O Eternal, the kings of Assyria have devastated the nations. I'm reading from the New American Standard Version. Truly, O Eternal, the kings of Assyria have devastated the nations and their lands, and have cast the gods in their gods into the fire, because they were not gods. They were not gods, but the work of men's hands. They were wood and stone. So they have destroyed them. Now, O Eternal, our God, I pray, deliver us from his hand, that all... Now, there's a reason. Not just deliver us so they'll think they know that we're the chosen people. Deliver us so that we will be the ones that will be set up high. Deliver us so that we can look down on the Assyrian people. Deliver us so that we can pat ourselves on the back of how righteous we were. Deliver us because we're so good and wonderful and we have faith. No! That's not the reason, he asks God. Deliver us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you alone, O Eternal, are God. It's for your glory that you do it. Not for our glory. Not because we're righteous. Not because we're great. Not because we're special. Not because we're somebody. Not because it exalts us. Not because we're supposed to be exalted by it. No. That's not the reason. Do it so that all the people, every kingdom on earth, may know that you alone, O living God, are God. Then Isaiah the son of Amos sent to Hezekiah, saying, thus says the Eternal. Now, Isaiah the prophet gets God's word. He comes now to Hezekiah. Thus says the Eternal God of Israel, because you have prayed to me. Listen to that. Because you have prayed to me about Sennacherib, king of Assyria, I have heard you. That's the message Isaiah delivers. I gave a sermon some time ago. What can change God's mind? What can change God's mind? Prayer. So in verse 20, now let's go to 2 Chronicles. I'm sorry to go back and forth, but these are parallel passages. 2 Chronicles chapter 32 and verse 20. You'll see here, but King Hezekiah and Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, prayed about this. They got that letter. He goes to Isaiah. Look what they're going to do. Look what they're going to do. And he goes and prays about this, and cried out to heaven, up to heaven. And the Eternal sent an angel who destroyed every mighty warrior, commander, and officer in the camp of the king of Assyria. And here was this mighty army just north of Jerusalem, all encamped out, just ready to come down. Now, you know, they cut off the water. Hezekiah said, I'm not going to give them any water, so we can cut that aqueduct and cut that water out. And they're out there, they're ready to come in, and an angel destroyed every one. How many were there? How many did he, in the book of Kings, it said he killed 185,000 soldiers. And who were they? They were mighty warriors, commanders, and officers. Now, if you lose your entire army, the commanders, the officers, and the strong soldiers, it'd be like us losing our entire Marine Corps. The whole entire Marine Corps goes down. Well, what happened to you? Well, that's devastating. Devastating to the king of Assyria. He sent an angel, destroyed every mighty warrior, commander, and officer of the camp of the king of Assyria. So he returned, the king of Assyria returned in shame to his own land. Didn't kill the king. And when he had entered into the temple of his god, some of his own children killed him. This is verse 21, 2 Chronicles 32, verse 21. Some of his own children killed him there with the sword. Now here this guy, I mean, you talk about stupid. He insults the living God of Israel. He now goes back to his place. What irony. What irony that he's now worshiping his pagan stupid. It was though he didn't believe in any gods anyhow. You remember? He said, what are the gods around? There's no gods. I'm like, I can wipe out any nation and their gods, and we throw their gods into the fire. So don't let Hezekiah tell you that the eternal, the ever-living one, is going to save you. And then when he's embarrassed and he's humiliated, his own sons now, unless evidently they thought he was so great. This is King, the kings. This is Sennacherib. This is the great Shalmaneser. This is the guy that can run over things and his father's. And you failed, you know. And they stabbed him, killed him with a sword in the house of his god. It's an interesting statement here in verse 21. It says, the Eternal sent an angel. That's singular. An angel. One angel went out and killed 185,000 of the chief top people of the Assyrian army. One angel did this. Do you remember what Jesus said when he was being captured? All of a sudden, Peter reaches in and he grabs his sword and I'll stop you people, and he swings it and he glances it and he cut the servant's ear off, the servant of the high priest. Jesus then said, this is Matthew 26 verse 52, Jesus then said to him, put your sword back into its place, for all those who take up the sword shall perish by the sword. Verse 53, this is Matthew 26, 53. Or do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father, and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? Now, a legion, it was 6,000 troops. You take this legion and go and lead it. A legion was 6,000. 12 legions. 12 times 6,000. What's that, like 172,000 troops? One angel killed that entire Assyrian army. And Jesus is saying, if I could appeal to my Father, you don't think he'll put 12 legions of angels at my disposal if I needed to protect myself? Put your sword away. Put your sword away. You couldn't even handle most of the Assyrian, any one of the Assyrian commanders, you know, or one of the Assyrian warriors. Here's Peter, you know, I'm a fisherman, but I've got this sword. I'll protect you, Lord. And you couldn't even beat one of these Assyrians. Well, that one angel wiped them all out. Second Chronicles chapter 32, now drop down to verse 22. So the Eternal saved Hezekiah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem from the hand of Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, and from the hand of all others, and guided them on every side. Tremendous victory. Overwhelming victory. God gave it to him. Now, The word gets around. You know, you can't defeat the Assyrian army and the word not get around. You know, it gets around. You have these smaller nations out around. And so what happened? Verse 23. And many were bringing gifts to the Eternal at Jerusalem. Probably from the Jews. Many were bringing gifts. And choice presents to Hezekiah, king of Judah. So that he was exalted in the sight of all nations thereafter. All these nations. Like, man, your little nation. I mean, who would bet? I mean, who would have guessed? You know, it'd be just like Notre Dame football team taking on some little high school place, you know. I mean, who would have guessed that high school team would have beat this? Nobody would have guessed it. So they're bringing gifts. They're praising Hezekiah. Oh, my. You have done so well. So that he was exalted. Hezekiah. If we are a nation, you command one of the great nations of the world. You beat Assyria. Verse 24. In those days, Hezekiah became mortally ill. Now, it just said in those days. It doesn't say when. And we now know, based on the other scripture I read from Isaiah, that Hezekiah must have became mortally ill sometime between the time he was sending the king of Assyria all this silver, all this gold, and cutting off the temple. And then God saved him from his disease. And then God saved him from the destruction of the king of Assyria. In those days, it says, Hezekiah became mortally ill, and he prayed to the Eternal, and the Eternal spoke to him and gave him a sign. That's all it says in 2 Chronicles, verse 24. Now, here's the irony. The irony, of course, is that Sennacherib departed and returned home, and while he was worshiping in his own home, in his own place. That was an irony. And his own God, this is going back to 2 Kings chapter 19, 36 and 37, that his sons killed him with a sword. That's an irony. But here's another very interesting, hard to accept scripture. This is 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verse 25. And this is what it reads in the New American Standard Version. But Hezekiah gave no return for the benefit he received, because his heart was proud. Therefore, wrath came on him and on Judah and on Jerusalem. I remember being in college, and before the meal, somebody would say, "Would you return thanks?" Now, that was a strange, you know, not being religious, not coming from other churches. No, I wasn't. So I heard this, "Would you return thanks to God?" To return is when God gives you a benefit. You see, you give something, God, you receive something from God. What do? In return, you give God the credit. You give God the thanks. You give God the praise. But listen to 2 Chronicles chapter 32. I'm going to read it now in the complete Jewish Bible. Complete Jewish Bible. However, Hezekiah did not respond commensurately with the benefit done for him. He got healed from the disease that was going to kill him. He got saved from the Assyrian army. And he didn't respond appropriately. He did not give God the immense thanks that God was entitled to. That's a lesson for you and me. He did not respond proportionately, commensurately. Let me read that in the New English Translation. 2 Chronicles 32, verse 25. But Hezekiah was ungrateful. He had a proud attitude, provoking God to be angry at him as well as at Judah and Jerusalem. So the king over our nation, is it, if God is angry at the king, he's, you know, the nation will suffer from it. If God was pleased with the leader, the nation will be blessed with it. And so here he was. He was lifted up with pride. He had so much pride, he could not give God commensurate, proportionate, appropriate thanks for all the blessings. And it made God angry. It made God angry. It made God angry at him. And God got angry at Jerusalem. And God angry at the nation of Judah. But I want you to take a look at this. That verse 26. However, Hezekiah humbled the pride of his heart. Look at this. Verse 26. Somehow he realized he made God angry. He got it. And all of a sudden he said, oh no, I've been too proud. I haven't given thanks enough. Hezekiah humbled the pride of his heart. Both he and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. So all the people now. He goes out. I don't think we appreciated. I don't think we praised God enough. I don't think we gave God enough. I don't think we were responding to God enough. So that the wrath of the Eternal did not come on them in the days of Hezekiah. You notice you can humble yourself? You notice you can actually humble. What did Jesus say? You know, he that exalts himself shall be humbled. But he that humbles himself, you have to humble yourself. You have to change your mind about yourself. You have to think differently about yourself. You have to be humble, not raised up in pride. Pride is there to catch us all. And there was no greater man among the kings of all Israel except David than Hezekiah. Hezekiah was like one of the greatest kings ever. Everything he did, he tried to acknowledge God. Everything he did, he tried to do it for God. And yet he got caught up. Everybody's coming to him. And we'll talk a little bit more about that next time. Everybody's coming to him. When he was healed, who came to him? The people from Babylon came. And of course, the people from Babylon are so happy with him. You defeated our arch enemy, Assyria. We're so happy for you. Man, you guys are great down here. You're great. Your God's great. I mean, this is great. But Hezekiah got proud. But then he realized it. And he humbled himself. Jesus said it. He that exalts himself will be humbled by other circumstances. But if you humble yourself, you'll be exalted. We'll talk more about humility, about Hezekiah, and the end of Hezekiah's life in our next message.